תפילת החברים. בורא.
Prayer of the friends. Creator. We thank you for being here together again in the lesson. And for the opportunity to pray for the friends and do your work together with great joy. We ask that you open the hearts of all the friends so that we will reach one big connection through which we will give you contentment and bring peace and wholeness to the world.
Hello, we are reading in the writings of Rabash, volume 3, page 214, the article, The Difference Between the Work of the General Public and the Work of the Individual. You can find the article on our sites and in the Arbut system. You can send questions live through this site. Here in the study hall, anyone asking a question should stand up, hold the microphone close to his mouth, and speak loudly and clearly. So again, the writings of Rabash, volume 3, page 214, the difference between the work of the general public and the work of the individual. The difference between the work of the general public and the work of the individual. It is written in the Zohar, commentary, when a person is born, a force from above is not appointed over him until he is circumcised. Once he is circumcised, the spirit awakens upon him, meaning the light of nefesh from above. When he is rewarded with engaging in Torah, he is a complete man, whole in everything, for he has been rewarded with the light of Chaya. But when a beast is born, as soon as it is born, the power it has in the end, it has when it is born. This is why it is written, when an ox or a sheep or a goat is born. We should understand the differentiation between beast and man and what it teaches us in the work. First, we must understand what is man in the work and what is beast in the work.
Adam, mahu?
What is man? Our sages said about what was said, in the end of the matter, all having been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man. What is, for this is the whole of man? Rabbi Elazar said, the Creator said, the whole world was not created but for this. In other words, the whole world was created for the fear of the Creator. This is the meaning of what he said, for this is the whole of man. It follows that man is one who has fear of the Creator. And one who does not have fear of the Creator is not called man. This also explains what they said. Thus would Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai say, that it was said, and you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. You are men. You are called man. And the idol worshippers are not called man. We should also interpret that by man, he is referring to one who has fear of heaven. Although in terms of the judgment, he is not important. Rather, he is from an impure one. Although a person has only the degree of a beast, he is still defiled in the tent. Nonetheless, in the work, we learn within one man, the discernments of Israel and the 17 nations. As the Zohar says, that every person is a small world. For this reason, with respect to practical mitzvot, commandments, called the revealed part, we learn everything separately, meaning a Gentile and Israel separately, meaning we learn everything in separate bodies. This is why the rule is that the graves of idol worshippers are not defiled in the tent. Since it is written about tum'ah, impurity, should a man die in a tent? This is why idol worshippers are not defiled in a tent. It therefore follows that one who has fear of the Creator is called man, and one who has no fear of the Creator is considered a beast and not a man. However, we should understand the measure of the fear of the Creator, since there are many discernments in this. The Zohar writes, fear is interpreted in three discernments, two of which do not contain a proper root, and one is the root of fear. There is a person who fears the Creator so that his sons will live and not die, or fears a bodily punishment, or a punishment to one's money. Hence, he always fears him. It follows that the fear he fears of the Creator is not placed as the root. For his own benefit is the root, and the fear is the result of it. And there is a person who fears the Creator because he fears the punishment of that world, the punishment and the punishment of hell. Those two kinds of fear, fear of punishment in this world and fear of punishment in the next world, are not the essence of fear and its roots. The fear that is the essence is that one should fear one's master because he is great and ruling. According to the words of the Zohar, the essence of the fear of the Creator is because the Creator is great and ruling. This is what compels us to observe His mitzvot, commandments, since this is regarded as working not in order to receive reward, meaning not for one's own sake. So he will receive some reward for his work. Rather, the work itself is the reward, because he feels it as a great privilege that he has, that he was given a thought and desire to serve the king. And regards the great gift he has been given from above as a fortune. It therefore follows that a man is one who walks on the path where all his actions will be with the aim for the Creator and not for his own sake. This is a great thing. But one who does not have the intention, but only the act, while this is a great thing, without the intention, it is regarded as a beast. As it is written, also a soul without knowledge is not good. Without knowledge means that knowledge means intention. As it is written, you grant man knowledge. This is perplexing, since the path of truth is to go above reason. So why do we pray to be given reason? Baal HaSulam said that knowledge of Kedusha, holiness, is called Dvekut, adhesion, equivalence of form. Accordingly, we should interpret without knowledge to mean a soul without dvikut, adhesion, but in a state of beast, not walking on the path of being rewarded through the power of Torah and mitzvot, to come to a state where he can aim in order to bestow. He is called a beast without knowledge, without equivalence of form. This means that in everything he does, he has no other intention but his own benefit. This is called a beast, and he is not regarded as you are called man and not idol worshippers. Now we will explain what we asked. What does the difference between the birth of a beast and the birth of a man imply to us? The Zohar brings evidence to its words that a newborn beast has the same strength in the end as it has when it is born. With the verse, an ox or a sheep or a goat that is born, that a day-old ox is called an ox, since it is not written a calf that is born. And concerning the work, this is what comes to teach us to know the order of development of man and beast.
First,
when speaking of the work, we must know what is birth. That is, according to the rule that we learn about differentiating beast from man, it all applies to the same body, because a person consists of 70 nations. He therefore consists of all that exists in the world, since according to what the Zohar says, man is a whole world. Therefore, we should know what is birth. It is known that when we speak of a person, we mainly speak of the mind and the heart. We attribute the thoughts to the mind, and we attribute the desires to the heart. Therefore, when he has in his mind and heart thoughts and desires that pertain to the beast, this is regarded as the birth of a beast. But if the mind and heart have thoughts and desires that pertain to man, this is regarded as the birth of a man. By this we discern between man and beast. However, externally, in corporeality, we see that there are big changes in a beast from the day it is born. After some time, it develops in length, width, and height. However, the main difference for which they said that there are no differences in a beast from the day it is born to the end, that it has the same strength. It refers to its internality. This comes to imply to us the order of the work, saying a beast that is born means that from this basis he begins to build the building in which he will dwell his entire life. Saying a beast that is born means that the basis with which he builds his work in Torah and mitzvot is on the state of a beast, called action without intention. He wants to continue in this way his entire life, for he thinks that this is the true path, that it is enough for those who want to walk on the path of the Creator to give all their energy and strength to observing Torah and mitzvot meticulously, and aim, while working, to observe the commandment of the Creator And what else do I need? Primarily, a person who is born as a beast claims that he brings evidence to the correctness from the general public of Israel and how they behave, meaning on what foundation they rely. You will certainly see that they are going by the way of a beast. That is, if they observe Torah and mitzvot and even take upon themselves some additional restrictions to the mitzvot that they were given, then everyone feels whole and sees no flaw in themselves that should be corrected. As evidence, they bring the words of our sages, go see what the people do. That is, when in doubt, go see what the general public is doing. Indeed, he is correct. One who is born as a beast belongs to the general public and should do as a public does. This is as Maimonides writes in his interpretation to the words of our sages, one should always engage in Torah, even lo lishma, not for her sake, since from lo lishma he will come to Lishma for her sake. Therefore, when teaching children, women, and uneducated people, they are taught only to work out of fear and in order to receive reward, until they gain more knowledge and acquire much wisdom. They are taught that secret bit by bit and are accustomed to it, to this matter, with ease, until they attain him and serve him with love. Clearly, it is only that one who wishes to follow the general public produces for himself evidence from the general public. But this applies to one who is born as a beast, for whom the Zohar says that the power he will have in the end, he has on the day when he is born. This is why it is said, a day-old calf is called an ox. This means that until the end, he will not have more knowledge of Kedusha, holiness, than he had at birth, when he began to work as a beast. However, we should understand the words of Maimonides when he says, until they gain more knowledge and acquire much wisdom. The question is, how can we know that they have already gained more knowledge and have acquired more wisdom, much wisdom? Moreover, what is the measure of knowledge that is regarded as having acquired much knowledge? And also, what is the measure of much wisdom from which onward it is permitted to reveal to them the meaning of Lishma, called not in order to receive reward? According to the above, when a man is born means when thoughts and desires that a person should be a man come into his mind. A man means one who wants to walk on the path of fearing the Creator, meaning that all his actions will be for the Creator in order to bestow, and not for himself as a beast, who has no sensation of the other. Instead, he specifically wants to work in order to bestow, although he has not yet been rewarded with this. Being born means that he has begun to walk on the basis of man, meaning that he wants to build his work on the basis of fear of the Creator, called man. And a beginning is called birth. This is the time when a person comes and says that he wants to be a man, because now he is born with a discernment of man in his mind and heart. This is called until they gain more knowledge and acquire much wisdom, meaning until wisdom and knowledge are born in their hearts, that it is not worth living a life of a beast, called Lo Lishma, not for her sake. As was written above, also a soul without knowledge is not good.
As
at that time, it is permitted to reveal to him the matter of Lishma, for her sake, called fearing the Creator, and not that he engages in Torah and Mitzvot, because he fears for his own benefit. But before the discernment of man comes to him, he must not be told, as in the words of Maimonides. By this we will interpret what the Zohar tells us, that there is a difference between one who is born as a beast, where as soon as he is born, meaning in the beginning of his work, he immediately has the wholeness he will obtain afterwards, meaning the same mind he had received when he was born. This pertains to the foundation that he began to work as a beast, called self-benefit. And everything he will build afterwards will be on the basis of self-love. And he will acquire no additions. Externally, he will grow as beasts grow after they are born, in length, width, and height. But a beast does not grow internally. That is, in terms of its mind, there is no difference between the day it is born and after it has grown over several years, since the beast remains with the same mind. The same applies to a person whose foundation and basis of the work is that of a beast, which is Lo Lishma. Here too, there is no difference in the internality, which is the mind. Although he certainly grows externally, meaning that over time he has acquired and collected much Torah and many mitzvot, internally he has remained on the same degree. And the mind, which is the interior, did not undergo any change at its end. This is why the Zohar says, a man who is born, no force from above is appointed over him until he is circumcised. Once he is circumcised, he receives the light of Nefesh, until he is rewarded with obtaining the light of Chaya, because he was rewarded with these four degrees that are from the worlds of Abiyah. It therefore follows that there is work that belongs to the general public, which is Lo Lishma, and is called a beast. We must not say that we should work Lishma, because such people will not understand anyway, since they were born as a beast, and they cannot understand otherwise. Therefore, they must be taught only Lo Lishma. According to the above, we can interpret what our sages said. Rabba said, one should always learn Torah where his heart desires. Rashi interpreted that where his heart desires means that his teacher should teach only the Masechet, the chapter in the Mishnah or Talmud, that he asks of him. For if he teaches him a different Masechet, it will not be for his heart is with his desire. This is so because if he is born as a beast, meaning if the mind and heart understand that they must go according to the general public, based entirely on lo lishma, it is impossible to make him see that we should work in order to bestow. It is as Rashi interpreted, if it teaches him a different masechet, it will not be, for his heart is with his desire. For this reason, he will make up many excuses why he cannot be as a man, called fearing the Creator, which is in order to bestow. It is as Maimonides wrote, one should not say, I am observing the mitzvot of the Torah in order to receive the blessings written in it or in order to be rewarded with the life of the next world. Only uneducated people, women, and children serve the Creator in this manner, for they are taught to work out of fear until they gain more knowledge and serve him with love. We explained that the meaning of until they gain more knowledge is until he is born in the discernment of man, meaning until thoughts and desires that he should work the true work, meaning in order to bestow, come to his mind. It is as Maimonides writes that we must serve the Creator only in order to bestow upon the Creator, as he phrased it. He does the truth because it is the truth. For truth means lishma, and not for one's own sake. He says that this truth must not be revealed to the general public because they will not understand it, as Rashi interpreted. For his heart is with his desire, hence he cannot understand otherwise. However, when he is born as a man, when thoughts and desires of being a man appear in his mind and heart, when he understands he needs to walk on the path of truth, although he still cannot walk, since he was born just now, meaning that now he has begun this work, although he understands he must achieve it, meaning to do everything in order to bestow, though when he is born he is nothing, as the Zohar says, when a person is born, a force from above is not appointed over him until he is circumcised.
Perush.
This means that when he begins to walk on the line of bestowal, called giving birth, he always sees the opposite value. In other words, he sees that after all his exertion, he has made no progress. Rather, he always sees that he has regressed. This order, meaning the state of concealment that he feels, continues until he is rewarded with circumcising himself.
Afterward,
he goes forward until he obtains the 4 degrees called Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh. This is the difference between the general public in the individual, such as the difference in corporeality between man and beast. He writes here, to serve him with love. What does it mean to serve with love?
To serve with love. That's considered that you feel what the Creator needs, wants, aims for. That's for yourself.
How is it possible to develop this feeling if what exists is that his heart is with his desire? How can you get rid of your own desire?
That's considered that you need to make efforts until you reach a different nature. Yes, Dudi.
It's
unclear what's the state that makes a person or a beast be born.
The previous state is that he makes an effort. He studies, he's in the correct framework. He tries to reach a state that he wants to know what the Creator requires of him.
So the environment engenders
In the environment, he needs to gather forces that will help him understand who he is, who the Creator is, what relationship there is between them, what he needs to do in order to discover his true degree and to reach the degree of the Creator.
But the Creator is the one who determines his thoughts, his next state.
Yes.
So what's the difference between what the Creator determines for him on his next degree, if he's a beast or a man, or the environment engenders a beast or a man out of him in the next state?
I don't exactly understand what you're asking, because only the Creator, he's the one that decides.
So what does the environment do here?
The environment gives a person an opportunity through it to reach the degree of the Creator.
My next state, if I'm a beast or a man, does the Creator determine it?
Let's say.
So what's the role of the environment in my next state?
It will help you reach it.
So where is my participation and what can I assist to engender a man and not a beast in the next moment?
When you annul yourself towards the Creator through participating with them, you reach a demand for the Creator to help you rise to his degree.
Also right, until he is rewarded with circumcising himself. From what does a person circumcise himself?
From the will to receive.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, at what point do intentions begin? At what stage?
From
the first moment. The moment a person begins to ask, who am I? What am I? What am I for? What's with me?
Because he writes throughout the article that if there is only an action without an intention, it's called a beast. And what separates, what differentiates between them is the intentions that he begins to put on the actions. So how do you begin to develop this ability to put an intention over an act?
If I don't clothe an intention on the act, the action, then the action comes naturally in order to receive. And if I want to build with this action, special attitude towards the Creator, so I need to work. So that I'll have the right intention for the action for me. Against what there was before, against my own natural desire.
The beast,
does it settle for the act? With this it ends its work?
As המעבר הזה מלהיות בהמה להתחיל להיות אדם.
So the transition from being a beast to beginning to be a man. On what does it depend? How do you begin to be a man?
מזה שרוצים לקבוע לעצמם.
From wanting to decide for themselves the adhesion in the ten and adhesion in to the Creator.
No.
מזה שרוצים להיות בדבקות,
so, from wanting to be in adhesion, in connection with the ten, this thing begins to put intentions on your actions?
No, זה כבר כוונה.
Well, that's already an intention. I want to be adhered to the ten.
What I'm
trying to ask is how to begin to work with this mechanism of intentions in reality. When you do something and you consciously put intentions over them and you don't just act, perform actions.
Well, if I, through these actions, want to reach a state that I'm not yet in, then my plan to reach a different state than I am in is called an intention.
Yes,
I understand the definition of intention. I'm just, what I'm not getting is, how are you meticulous in placing an intention over an action?
I think about the importance of the intention, that it needs to give my action essence, height, intensity, and that is why I begin to be immersed in the intention. That before I have the intention, I don't do any action. That it's clear to me what I'm doing it for.
So,
how do you begin to work in this way? Because anything I do without the intention, I understand, I'm a beast.
It
depends on what framework you're speaking of.
Well,
in the framework of spiritual development.
Well, in the group.
Yes.
So
I see also
according to what we read and according to what you said, anything you do that doesn't have an intention over it, you're a beast. So how do you begin?
Right.
So how do you begin to live with a mechanism of intentions in life, in the life of the group, in the group? How do you always place intentions over the actions in the life of the group?
My attitude to the ten needs to be constantly aimed towards the fact that I, in the ten, are trying to raise my friends to the spiritual degree.
Rav,
how is a man born out of a beast?
מבהמה נולד אדם רק על ידי התפתחות
Man is born from a beast only through the development of the intention in order to give contentment to the Creator, to keep the desire of the Creator.
But how does it happen? It's a beast.
No, but he has records from the degree of man. These records begin to awaken in him. If not, there's nothing to do. He hasn't yet reached the beginning of his path.
What is that record? What does it mean?
That's called man or beast will be saved, salvated by the Creator. That the Creator, through the light that reforms, awakens a person, shines upon him, and a person begins to feel that he starts developing. That he has still a difference between what he thought a month ago and what he thinks now, with respect to himself, with respect to others, with respect to the Creator, to the path, to the study. He begins to understand what he was brought to the society for, what they are actually learning, and so on.
Another question on that topic. If we sometimes, man is born, sometimes beast is born, that's how we feel. Desires and thoughts that are for my own sake. What do you do with thoughts and beasts that are and desires that are from the beast? How do we deal with them?
Hold on, we have a person that still has thoughts of a beast.
Let's say there's a little bit of man in him and a little bit of the beast. He has different thoughts from this and from that.
If both, then he's given from above a certain illumination so that he'll be able to eventually identify which thoughts relate to the degree of Adam and which to the degree of the animal, the beast.
And what does he do with those that are born in him as a beast, with his thoughts and desires? What does he do with them?
According to the extent he uses his environment, then he sorts and corrects his attitude to thoughts.
What does it mean that he corrects his attitude towards the thoughts?
That he understands more and more, to the extent that the thoughts that he goes through, that he has, they belong to the degree either of the animal or the speaker.
But beyond sorting thoughts and desires, what does he do with those thoughts of the beast?
In the thoughts of the beast, he does not want to live. And in the thought of Adam, of a speaker, he does want to live. And then he adheres to them and he becomes more distant.
He says in the article that a person is supposed to grow from the moment he is born until he ends his life in his adhesion with other men. My question is, in what does a person grow as man?
We're talking here about growth of a person. Right, so he needs to grow with his intention in order to bestow.
So I want to know, so he understands that this is the direction to walk toward bestowal, but he still can't. So what does he do now? What's next?
So now he'll be given the opportunity to learn what it means in order to bestow.
What is his next step when he stands or when he takes the first step?
That he'll be given the actions that he can do with a force to bestow, and then he'll understand what he is lacking.
And who holds him from falling like you hold a child and help him walk?
of course, the Creator.
Rabash
makes presents a very orderly procession of a person's development. He says, when a person is born, means that thoughts and desires come into his mind and heart, that he should be a man. And before that, he says, until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom. He begins with women, children, etc. Until they gain knowledge and they have much wisdom, and then at some point, suddenly man is born when thoughts and desires come into his mind and heart of man. What is our part in this work? What does it mean to acquire much wisdom? What do we need to do in this?
We need to do everything Kabbalists write to us, that we need to start from the very first day where we entered such a society, and we need to act according to the conditions that have been placed in front of us if we want to advance in society. That's all. It's clear to us that if we come to study, then we want to reach the revelation of the Creator, adhesion in the Creator, each one according to how he can interpret it, to start with. That's our beginning.
Where is the connection between us in this work?
After a while, where we learn, we begin to hear and to learn, even to learn how to keep and act on some kind of coming closer to one another, which is coming closer corporeally and also coming closer spiritually. Like every group that studies together, they start feeling each other more, sensing each other, knowing why they're learning for. But unlike other forms of study, this study explains to us that we need, over the study, over even the years of study, we need to come closer to one another. We need to connect with one another to such an extent that it's a heart-to-heart connection in the hearts. And by that, we need to try and reach the state of being as one man in one heart. It's explained to us along the way.
How does the effort to connect between us, to open our hearts, how does it summon, invite the birth of a man?
That's through the light that reforms. That's the whole difference in the study, that in our study we attract the upper light and it influences us. And it brings from us, it reveals in each and every one of us spiritual qualities that were dormant within us before, and now they are starting to be awakened. And each one begins to develop them. How do we know this? According to the darkness that we start seeing along the way.
Darkness in the ability to connect between us? No. The darkness begins when I suddenly feel like I don't know what I'm living for, what I'm doing, what I have in life. From here on begins the scrutiny within a person.
So this is already the birth of man, of a person, of a speaker?
No, this is not yet the birth. It's far from the birth. It is only a person being shown where he is.
היכרות הראשונה עם הרוחניות.
It's the first acquaintance with spirituality, with the upper light.
Let me say that from that he needs to continue and work on connection.
Out of this, he needs to work on connection, correct.
The question is, how does working on connection, how does that give birth to man?
Because through connection, he draws more and more reforming light, and that upper light opens him and reveals to him the upper system.
In
the end of the article, he writes that while he starts going in the path of bestowal, then he always sees the opposite path. That he sees according to all of the effort that he gives, he's not advancing, he's always going back. This is already after he's born.
After he's born.
So what's the difference between this darkness that you described of starting the process to the darkness of being born, discovering that he's actually going backwards?
He begins to understand through his study that it's not as he thinks that he's going backwards, but that it's actually moving forward.
And he says that what he feels continues until he has the ability to circumcise himself.
Yes.
Which means,
until he comes to such a connection with the upper light that it is called correction, circumcision.
And here he's really a person?
Well, yes.
אני לא מבין איך זה אפשר שבן אדם יבצע ברית מילה.
How can a person circumcise himself?
איך זה אפשר שאדם?
כן, כן.
How is it possible for a person to develop what?
How can a person circumcise himself?
זה נגד כל נגד כל הגוף.
It's against the whole body.
להכניע לסירייה או קבוצה לבצע על עצמי. בסדר.
To let the group do it on me, that okay. But how?
על עצמי.
How can I do it upon myself?
מבקש מהבורא.
You ask the creator.
הוא כותב כשיש לו במוח ובלב מחשבות ורצונות
אשר he writes that he has thoughts and desires that relate him to a beast, and he is a beast. And he also writes that when a person is born, the force from thoughts and desires come to him that he needs to be a person, a speaker. So he puts the desires of the mind and heart together, and I feel that the more we advance, there is a gap between what is in the mind and the desire, and here it's felt that there is great work. There are many places in the article that there isn't a separation between mind and heart. Why is it that like that?
A person has to scrutinize it. A person has to scrutinize it, and in the end he also needs to connect between them.
We spoke before about a gap that there is between the intention and the action. And the scrutiny was from the side that when a person can do actions, but he doesn't reach the correct intention. There is a gap. I'd like to ask, there are many states where a person feels that he has the intention, he has the passion, he has the desire, which is quite directed, and he isn't executing it, he isn't reaching a point that he can do the action. A few days ago, someone gave a great example of an artist who wants to create a sculpture and it doesn't come out like he planned. You also feel it when you ask a question. You have a yearning, a desire, a certain deficiency, and when you ask the question, it's only 10% of what you wanted to express. So my question is, how can we bring how do we bring the desire that it will come out similar in action?
It is done to us on purpose from above, so we will learn how to do it through the connection between us.
I know that there are friends who have a desire 1,000 kilograms and they're not even able to ask a question for 1 gram. Through connection, will they succeed in extracting this?
For sure. The connection begins on the corporeal level, and you can elevate it to spiritual levels.
How to advance to 10? The mind and heart are thinking, how to advance the 10? How can I think about it? And that is the attention. Now, in parallel to that, there are actions that I do. So the actions I do with my hands and feet, my attention is still in the 10. And if that's considered that alongside that I can do the actions with the correct intention, is that considered like that?
If you act with the right intention, then you are now before the 10. And this is called being circumcised.
So the actions that we do throughout the day, many of them are actions which are necessary. So if I do them and my focus, my intention is on the 10, and in parallel I do these actions, so automatically is the intention clothed on these actions?
The intention is never automatic. It is for you to do it by force.
Пишется, что трепет — это свойство человека. Там весь человек находится. Сейчас мы знаем,
что fear is a quality of man, that in that is all of man.
Это любящий Творца. Я хотел спросить, почему?
It says that a person is similar to the Creator. He's a partner with Him. I wanted to ask, why is it specifically in fear? And how is this equality that we want to become less equal to the Creator and love Him? Why do we need fear here? How to combine all of these together?
Fear is the inner anxiety in a person.
No.
It's when he, he's worried that he cannot do what he...
Good evening, Rav. Good evening, World Clear. Question from the 10. How can we come out of the degree of animate and reach the degree of speaker?
First of all, you have to come to the 10. Then you have to start trying to be connected in the 10. And then through the 10, raise questions and actions, and then understand what the 10 is. From that, we'll reach the feeling of spirituality.
New York 2.
New York 2.
זה קל להבין שבזמן החושך צריכים לעבוד על חיבור ולמשוך את האור. אבל כשאני ממש מרגיש חושך,
it's easy to understand that when I feel the darkness, it really numbs me, it paralyzes me. How to use the darkness even when it paralyzes me? Take the friends in your hand and do it.
Levat lo.
Not alone.
Be'er Sheva.
Be'er Sheva.
Boker Tov Asiriya Olamit.
Good morning, World 10. It says here that we've learned this article in September 19, 2016. I'm trying to connect the states, and I didn't feel that I'm a man. I didn't feel that I'm a beast. I enjoyed studying. And now it took me some time to feel that, according to my intentions, I'm mostly a beast most of the time. The question is, how do I help my dear friends from the world Kli connect these times, hasten them, shorten them, so they would advance as the last generation?
Study with that intention, and then you'll see as much as it brings you closer to the Creator, to the purpose of creation, to the group, to the friends, that it will all gather in one place.
Moscow 6.
Moscow 6.
Я извиняюсь, неправильный вопрос задал. Как можно помочь ближнему, если у каждого...
Sorry, I asked incorrectly. How can you help a friend if each one of the friends has his own root of the soul?
We don't help each one's root of the soul. We help that final purpose that is common for everybody. That's why there we can actually be connected together.
Voila by the Rabash.
Tzimtzum
Aleph. When that Malchut said that she did not want to receive in order to receive, it is as though she repelled the light. That state is called Tzimtzum, restriction. And there is a rule in spirituality, any appearance of a new form is considered a new discernment. Therefore, we should discern two states. One, when Bchinat Dalet, the fourth phase, receives all the light with a vessel called yearning, this is called filling the whole of reality, as well as the world of Ein Sof. Two, after she wanted equivalence of form, that state is considered a different world called the world of Tzimtzum, of restriction, from which the light departed. As we discerned that Chochmah received and Bina repelled the light, Malchut remained as she was in the state of the world of Ein Sof, receiving all the light. And now we discern a new Malchut which repels the light. We should know that in the first state called Ein Sof, it was He is One and His Name is One, meaning that the light and the vessel were one discernment. And only after the restriction was there a distinction of the four phases or ten sfirot, since the light departed from them. To continue with Ornest,
Malchut
has all, both the states, the state of Ein Sof and the new state. What can she do with the previous state? What does it give her? The fact that it's still in her?
The state of Ein Sof, I still didn't hear that it is in Malchut.
No, he says the Malachot undergoes a process.
That the light fills all of reality.
The light fills all of reality, and the Malachot performs a restriction. We said it's a new state.
Yeah.
He said no discernment disappears, only added to.
Yeah.
So, I'm asking, what does it mean that Malachot has an additional state? What does the previous state give her? What can he do with it?
The previous state is in the next state, meaning Malchut that is entirely filled with light is called the light of Ein Sof. Afterwards, upon it clothes a Malchut which is restricted, called the world of restriction. That's it. Two states.
I
understand. I'm asking, what can Malchut do with its previous state? What does it give her? Why didn't she lose it?
Why is that important for us now?
Because it seems like in spirituality there are degrees that are built one on top of the other.
Correct.
And it seems like the result is always seemingly dependent only on the last degree. So what do you need the previous degrees for?
There's no lack in spirituality. All states remain and exist and never disappear.
Okay, אפשר שאלה נוספת?
כן.
כתוב פה בהתחלה של...
May I ask another? It says the beginning of first restriction, when the Malchut said he doesn't want to receive in order to receive. How come Malchut, that's all entirely to receive, suddenly doesn't want to receive in order to receive? What happened?
According to the nature of the light that fills her.
מה זה אומר?
What does that mean? The light is always in bestowal throughout all the degrees down to this point, bestowal.
But it came to a state where it bestowed Malchut with its own qualities, and now she doesn't want to be a receiver. It affected her, and she changed. She also wants to be as the light. Because the light is the upper one, the first, it belongs to a higher degree. The moment the light starts bestowing upon something, so it presses of its own on that one he is affecting. And then that discernment that receives it, that is below the influence of the light, she has no choice. She receives his control.
He writes that after the restriction, there was a recognition of the four phases. What more do we need? Why is there continuation? Or why is it only the beginning?
I don't understand the question.
If Malchut, the restricted Malchut, has now a recognition, an awareness of the four phases, what else is needed in creation?
But what does she want to get to?
To resemble the upper one. That's a recognition of the four phases.
So in what can she?
Having this awareness, what is that? What does that mean? This awareness.
When she restricts herself, does she do something that she comes closer to the upper one?
She has awareness of the four phases that came out of the upper one.
So what?
Everything can be in it.
She received all the light of Ein Sof.
That's not written.
Okay, we'll go over it. That's it. What?
From PT 35, ask the restricting Malchut, why by restricting herself and not receiving the light, she becomes similar to the Creator. What does it add to her?
She comes closer to the Creator by not receiving. According to the action, she comes closer to the Creator.
Continue, Avi. How could there be a deficiency in the state of He and His name is one?
What state of He and His name is one?
Phase four, when it receives all the light.
Phase four, that receives all of the light. Even if she receives the whole light, she receives it in equivalence of form.
He calls it He and His name is one, that state. It's the end of the discernment. Before the restriction.
We have to read where you're taking this from.
The paragraph, hence,
as we discern that Chokhmah received and Bina repelled the light, Malchut remained as she was in the state of the world of Ein Sof, receiving all the light, and now we discern a new Malchut which repels the light. We should know that the first state called Ein Sof was He, is one, and His name is one, meaning that the light and vessel were one discernment. Only after the Tzimtzum, the restriction, was there a distinction of the four phases or ten Sefirot, since the light departed from them. Yeah.
I'm asking about that state. What deficiency can there be in the state of He is one and His name is one that invites a new action? Reflected light. Why not be satisfied with that state? He is one and His name is one. That sounds like a state of wholeness.
Why do you think it's a state of wholeness?
Also a question, I guess. I know that afterwards a new creation comes to be called shame, which propels the rest of the process. It's not written here yet, but...
Okay, let's keep going. What's he say about the question? With this Tzimtzum, the light departed from all ten Sefirot. This is perplexing, since the Tzimtzum was on the reception in order to receive, which is Pchinat Dalet, phase 4, and not on the rest of the phases of the Pchinot. Finish your question.
Above Machot, the first nine, the upper nine above Machot, if they are not vessels, as he writes here, but only preparation.
Of course it's not vessels.
So why did they attach the Sefirot to it? Aren't Sefirot vessels?
No. The vessel is Malchut. The Sefirot are the ways the light appears towards Malchut. When Malchut receives in her reflected light, those lights in the first nine, then she performs a coupling upon them and a reception of the light.
Ken.
Yeah.
Rav, can you explain a bit more about the difference between the Kli and the Sefirot that preceded?
Where are we talking? Ten Sefirot that are connected between them in the vessel of Malchut, that is called a vessel.
Why the restriction gave Malchut an awareness of its ten Sefirot? What does it mean that it recognizes it's aware of its ten Sefirot?
She knows the ten Sefirot by restricting herself. She doesn't want to receive. By this, she limits the development of the light in the first nine. Then, as much as she equalizes to those first nine in order to bestow, she feels as much as they receive.
So after she's born, Malchut, she attained her causes.
Yeah.
What is the importance of attaining her causes?
That's called that she receives them.
How does that influence her?
They all together become a potsuf.
Meaning that gives her an opportunity,
a place to reveal.
When the receiving Malchut, when the Malchut receives and she discerns the first ten Sefirot, meaning she discerns the different lights.
Yeah.
Does Malchut itself have a light, or it's merely the illumination is only in the nine? That's the distinction.
Reflected light.
I didn't get it.
The fact that she performs reflected light on the first nine, that's her light.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rav,
what is this independence that the last phase suddenly has? Suddenly she's independent, she can make calculations of receiving, not receiving, I'm using, not, I'm developing into something else. Where did she get this independence? Because all the first discernments or qualities work by a certain linked chain of events. The light influences them, there's a certain influence, a certain development. Suddenly the last phase comes and she has a certain degree of independence. She can make calculations. What causes her, what creates that distinction between the last sphira and the rest of the sphira that come before her?
Malchut is entirely receiving. It has no other quality, either to receive or not. By choosing not to receive, she starts being connected to the first nine, not about what's in them, but what they want to bring her. By this, she uplifts above herself to the first nine.
The upper nine have no choice. They will always pass everything down to the Malchut, right?
Well, let's say so.
So how come the Malchut suddenly has the ability to say if I receive or don't receive?
Because she's the one to receive. She has nothing but that.
I'm not
able to formulate the question. I'm trying to understand how suddenly they had nine discernments that worked a certain way, and suddenly a discernment came out of them that works in a completely different way.
Because in those nine discernments, in each one there's something of their own, and in Malchut there is nothing. Raise your question.
Yes, yes. What was the reason that suddenly they separated? There was seemingly equivalence of form between the light and the vessel, and suddenly this desire was created to create a vessel with the will to receive. What happened there?
The vessel with the will to receive developed from the discernment of the root. One, two, three, four. That's how we're constantly speaking about the development of the vessel. The vessel, on the way of its development, reveals the light that fills her. And in some way agrees with it or not, wants it or not, and so on, until it reaches the last phase. What are you asking about?
When Malchut restricted the light, what happens to the rest of the sphere, the sphirot? Does that mean everything stops until this correction begins? I might begin to kind of have an interaction with the Creator to say, I can only take this much, and then that the entire lights begin to activate. Is that how it works?
Yes, of course, Malchut is in an interaction with the Creator, and the Sfirot in the middle between Keter and Malchut are only the ones connecting between Keter to Malchut and Malchut to Keter.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I heard something like along the lines of, by restricting herself, she receives what the first nine want to pass down to her. What do they want to pass down to her? That only the restriction allows her to receive.
whatever they receive from Ketev, from phase zero, the root.
What do they receive?
The upper light, the Creator's attitude towards them.
Before Malchut restricts herself, she cannot receive it from them, from the upper nine?
She can, but then she won't feel what she's receiving.
The restriction allows her to receive from the upper nine something she wouldn't be able to receive otherwise, yeah, without the restriction?
Yes.
What is it?
Sharing. It's sharing, like the guest and the host. That the guest rejects what the host gave him. Why? What he doesn't want to receive. He doesn't want to do a favor for the host. But in a different way, he won't be able to enter that equivalence with the host, with a mutual bestowal.
Again.
Yeah.
Here it's a little different, because he describes here that only after the restriction there was the awareness, because first she was receiving. It's not like you're with the host and then you stop yourself from receiving. He says in the beginning, the expansion of the light and its departure qualifies the vessel for its role.
Yeah.
So here, specifically from the expansion and the restriction, she gets an awareness of, as Oren said, of the actions that took place before her.
What is the intention of the host, the landlord?
So that's it, meaning that when the light departs, she begins to have discernments about what happened.
Now she starts getting different discernments, that the host doesn't just want to blow her up and fill her up. But by this, he has an intention which is a bit higher.
So the vessel qualified for its role means that it begins to detect the intention of the host in the filling.
Yes, the host gives her an opportunity to enter him, to pick in there, and afterwards maybe change her ways.
Thank you. When the host gives her an opportunity to enter into him, to pick in him, what does she find there?
Only the intention of love.
Before the restriction, phase four was receiving in order to receive. But the process of development is from the feeling of the giver. What does she feel from the giver in practice? She doesn't feel that he enjoys her reception. What does she feel?
She feels the love. She feels the love.
She feels his love, but she doesn't feel his feedback following her reception.
Why? Where are you taking this from?
I'm trying to understand if before the intention there's before the restriction there's an intention. She is receiving because she feels the love of the Creator and she wants to bring him contentment or not?
Yes, of course, otherwise she wouldn't perform the restriction.
So what's the difference between the vessel of Hasadim and the intention to delight him?
She wants to bring joy to the Creator just as she reveals that he wants to bring joy to her from all of her vessel. That's why she restricts herself.
But before the restriction, when she discovers, when she feels all this love, she feels that she also delights him?
Yes.
So why does she decide to restrict? Why should there be shame if she gives him such pleasure?
By that, she erases herself. That's why on behalf of the Creator, it supposedly isn't important for him whether she restricts herself or not, or if she receives an order to receive or an order to bestow. For him, the main thing is that she receives.
And when she restricts herself, what is the ladder the Creator offers her in order to receive again? How can he make himself accessible to her so she wants to receive again?
Because after the restriction, she already puts herself with her intentions before her actions. And then she doesn't receive in order to bestow, but in order to bestow, then she receives.
А вот откуда взялось ресурс у Малхут сделать сокращение? Это что-то, что в ней самой родилось, либо это как-то внедрил творец?
Where did Malchut get the resources to perform the restriction? Is it something the Creator inserted into her, that ability? Or did she get it from somewhere? Where does this ability to perform the Tzimtzum?
Malchut can perform a restriction because she feels her state, her attitude, her relationship to the upper light, to receive it, in order to receive, her inability to receive in order to bestow, and the attitude of the Creator toward that.
Oh, Ken.
How is it that a primitive will to receive can feel the giver?
It's not a primitive will to receive. It can feel the source of its reception, where it receives from, and because it has the first upper nine before it, it comes to a state where in his when he turns to it, already all the intentions and discernments of the bestower are rooted in him, and he's using it.
So there's the will to receive, and next to it, there's the will to feel the giver. It's two things.
Before it, there's a desire to feel the giver.
If there are two things, how could you reach equivalent of form with one?
No, his desire was created as a result of the influence of the bestower in all of his upper nine. Hence, the desire to receive in the Malchut is already a result of the upper nine.
It starts with the second restriction, already starts feeling the desire to bestow. Before Malchut.
Again?
Yes.
And starts responding, starts bringing something out of himself, meaning there's another additional ability.
No, it can't perform any action before he completes his development from above down. He cannot.
Again.
Or the tanug. Light is pleasure. Meaning, there's nine types of pleasure that is accepted, and one type of pleasure that is flawed, that the created being cannot use. Can we say that?
Okay.
So Malchut, when she restricts herself, so she, if she receives, she can't feel anything except for the pleasure filling her. The restriction lets her feel the pleasure of the nine above her.
Yes.
And then fill them.
No.
And?
So actually, we're speaking about pleasure. One part allows the other part or blocks the other part if there's no restriction.
And?
So where's the Creator in this? It's all the created being within itself. Malchut to the Sfirot above, or the Sfirot above to Malchut.
We're saying we want to give contentment to the Creator.
Yes.
So where's the Creator here if it's all parts of the created being?
The first nine.
Malchut relates to the first nine as the Creator?
Yes.
Okay.
We said that Malchut, when she receives everything, she also feels that the Creator enjoys her receiving. It's not written that there's a dilemma here. I'd expect there to be a very big dilemma before the restriction, because she doesn't feel the Creator enjoying by her receiving. So how can it be that in a self-decision that she won't receive, she harms the Creator in this?
Yes, that's why he says that the restriction is the most severe thing that can be.
So why is the shame here stronger for them than bestowing to the Creator by receiving? Why is it stronger?
Again?
Why is the feeling of shame that's revealed in her stronger than her need to bestow to the Creator, that by that she decides to restrict herself?
Specifically because she wants to bestow contentment to the Creator.
But does she feel she's doing it by receiving? She already feels it. That's what we said.
He did not receive in order to bestow.
Right, but for the Creator, it's not important whether she receives in order to bestow or to receive.
But she can't feel it.
So she doesn't feel the Creator's pleasure?
No, it's just like a baby who still doesn't feel it. He's not in... He's not exchanging things with his mother yet.
About the revelation that the Creator has an intention of love towards her. That revelation that he has an intention of love towards her, does that come only after she restricts herself? Or does something of him come before she restricts herself and causes it?
Correct question. The Creator, who's caring for Malchut, he fills her with all of his attitudes to her, all the desires. And when does she discover his attitude toward her completely, which will cause her restriction? This happens only in the very last stage.
And then she feels that he has an intention of love towards her?
Not only love, absolute love.
That brings her to decide on the restriction?
Yes.
Now she restricted herself. So by this she enters a deeper interaction with him. She reveals more things in him that she couldn't reveal before.
Let's say.
What are they?
I can't say. I think it's called Sitre Torah, Secrets of Torah.